Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Talking Wealth, the show where the Wealth Within team are on hand to teach you how to become a more confident, competent, and more importantly, profitable trader or investor. Wealth Within was voted number 3 for stock market podcasts globally in 2018, so I hope you enjoy listening. We cover topics from trading to investing, as well as wealth creation to ensure you can achieve your financial goals. Because as we always say, lifestyle matters. As a global leader in stock market education, you can fast track your journey towards financial freedom by studying with Wealth Within. If you'd like more information about our government accredited courses or to listen to more Talking Wealth podcasts, head over to wealthwithin.com.au and click on the Talking Wealth podcast under the Learning Centre. Please note that the information in this podcast should not be considered personal financial advice.
Hello and welcome to Talking Wealth. I'm Janine Cox, Senior Analyst at Wealth Within. Today, I'm excited to be talking about oil, which is a very interesting subject and one that I've followed for a long time. I never really imagined that the world would get to this point, even though with energy and even though I thought that at some point, you know, we should be doing all that we can to actually not pollute our planet. However, there is this podcast is not about the debate about whether we should be pro or against oil. It's more about other opportunities in this space. Now, if you consider yourself to be an ethical investor, perhaps this is not an area that you're interested in, but you should still keep an eye on what's going on in the oil space because it gives a fair idea about whether the global economy is actually going to meet the targets when they have indicated that they would, or the targets that they've committed to by 2030 and 2050. Now, war is obviously has a huge influence on energy and energy prices. We've seen that, and we saw COVID have an incredible effect and disruption and in cause of a spike or the plummeting of prices. Oil is one that's changed my way of looking at charting forever, given that the price of oil actually went into the negative, which I've never seen on anything else in the past. And now I can imagine how you would like to have, say you were trading oil futures at the time, someone say to you, look, we've got a tanker of oil, where would you like it delivered? If you'd made a mistake in your assumptions about which way the price of oil was going to go, and in terms of the bet that you made on that, you would be, you know, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who were caught out when that occurred. Now, one of the interesting things and that I've read recently and that I think that's important for you to take note of is Rothschild and Co. released an article, Are Oil Prices Pushing Inflation Higher?, which is what we want to talk about today, because there are all sorts of questions around what could drive inflation higher. And historically, oil was one of the big triggers for often inflation spikes. So we saw when growth was occurring, obviously people were doing more, they were spending more, there was more consumption, and that all fed into higher oil prices. Now, we also have seen how oil is actually tracking sideways on a chart. We showed it on the show recently. We looked at commodities recently. And if you haven't watched that show, make sure that you check it out. We looked at the oil price and discussed where we think, what were important levels on the oil price to take note of. Now, some of you may actually be trading energy stocks or looking to trade energy stocks, and this is going to be particularly important for the future direction of stocks like Santos, Woodside, yes, as well. And so if we see the gas and oil prices moving in the right direction for those companies, then clearly the share prices are going to be impacted by the price of the underlying commodity that they're producing. So I just want to reflect back for a minute on this article. Now, the article starts off, it says, oil has been steadily trending higher this year. And this article was released in April, up nearly a fifth in 2024. Now, they mentioned the $90 a barrel level, which I'll come back to in a minute. Now, they talk about the volatility. Yes, oil is extremely volatile. Any of these futures, all these commodities traded on the futures market tend to be. Demand is not driven just by users, but by speculators too. And this is what caused the huge spike that we saw that occurred when the oil price went into negative territory. And I'm just looking at a chart, and this was in 2020 when COVID hit. So it made its low in April, and it went to, I think it was some ridiculous level. And you can just imagine the look on the traders' faces when this happened, but minus 40. So at the time, I sat back and I thought, what does this really mean for the long-term direction of oil? But then we saw the oil price trade up and exceed well beyond where it was trading prior to COVID. So just to give you an idea and understanding before I come back to the article, because the article is referring to $90, which is an important level for the oil price. But prior to COVID occurring, October 2018, oil was trading below $80. And as I said, it went to minus 40. So that's just incredible in terms of the level of volatility there. But then oil moved up after that COVID pullback, and it traded to a high around $130, which is quite incredible. So from April 2020 to March 2022, that's in 2 years, I'll just tell you how much that represents. So if you measure it from the negative, we're talking 422% from the low. If we're measuring from where it was prior to the correction, let's just say in January 2020 was probably a good time to market. So it went to 100% from that point, which is more than what most people expected. A lot of people had pegged oil to get stuck around that $90 level and come back. Now, I was watching that, and I was very excited to see it get through the $100 level, because there's a significant level of resistance for the oil price at around $110, which, as I said, it broke that level. And historically, there are particular signs on the chart that show that this level is super important. But another level that's important is the $90 level that's mentioned in the article. Now, it corresponds to the level that was achieved in 2018. It's got a relationship with that level. And at the moment, there's some serious resistance around just below $90. So any move above that $90 mark that's mentioned in the article, and the oil price could take off above $100 again towards that 120 line. It may just track somewhere between $70 and $100 over the next year or so. There's a possibility for that. But given that we're expecting the market to push higher, we're moving into this phase in global markets where we're expecting the boom part of the phase still hasn't unfolded, and people still focus on what was happening a year ago or what was talked about 6 months or 3 months ago. In the stock market, you've got to be thinking 6 to 12 months out. So in looking at what was happening, if we think about what occurred in right before the peak in the market in 2007. So in January 2007, there was a low in the oil price. Okay, so it was trading. The low back then was about $50. Now, it hasn't spent much time below $50 since that time. So it dipped below that level in the GFC, but hasn't really spent a lot of time. It came back below that when the commodities corrected in 2016 and then again in COVID. It skidded along that level and found strong support. That's an incredible level around that $45, $50 mark to provide support for future. But it could also be a point where it comes back to down the track if there is some weakness in the oil price. But if we just look at what happened in that final move up prior to the GFC from January 2007, the rise was amazing. It was 194% gain on the in the oil price at that point prior to the peak. And now the peak in the oil price, which is important, happened well before, well after the peak in the market. So it continued to boom into July 2008. Now, if we think about that and what that means, in we need to compare this to other runs on the market. We can't just look at this in isolation and think about when the tsunami hit in 2011 and our market corrected, oil actually made a high in April 2011. It tried to continue to push up in March 2012, was trading at around those same levels, which was closer to $120, $110 to $120 a barrel. And it didn't fall away until 2014, sort of well into 2014. And there were stories about what the Fed were going to do with the with rates, and there was a lot happening around the world with the control of the supply as well, and the whole commodities sector, everything was correcting into that low that occurred in 2016 or around about. And after that, some commodities continued to struggle. So we saw following that oil really was unable to get back up to those highs, those prior highs, and was stuck in a level which it actually likes being historically, going way back to 2005. Oil has trended around anywhere between, say, $50, and it's like to be around $80. I've spent a lot of time trading in between that zone, and that's a decent range to trade within for any commodity, for it to just want to come back to the same levels all the time. And there's a good reason for that, because we know from a technical perspective that there are levels on any chart, doesn't matter whether it's a commodity, currency, stock, that are going to be the strongest levels going forward. So right now I'm looking at this level. It's in the middle of that zone between the $50 and the $90 level, which is $70, which is extremely strong for oil. So we've seen the oil price come back below that level in 2023. We've seen it come back to test support in December 23. Now, if the oil price takes that out and it continues to fall away, it's going to go back to $50 a barrel. Right now, we're in a really, tight spot historically, looking at where it could trade. If it breaks 73.44, or pretty much say 73.40, then my expectation is that we'll dip below $70 before it then heads back and shows us its true colours and where it really wants to be. Now, I'm not suggesting it's going to do that in the next couple of weeks. I'm still waiting for confirmation of the next move. So at the moment, we're looking at a chart to get some perspective. We've had a peak in April 2024, and we need to see the oil price trade above that level and head back through that $90 mark strongly for it to then move back up into the next band of these trading ranges where it likes to hover, which would be between 100 and 120, and that would re-rate oil higher. So can it do it? Anything's possible, and yes, it can. We just need to be patient and wait to see what unfolds. And if it does this, then I would say that a lot of energy stocks are going to be re-rated higher as well. So watch out for that. Now, it doesn't mean just because the oil price rises. Now, if we look at this from a percentage point of view, and we're saying, okay, if it goes from around 90 to 120, we've got sort of a 35% potential, maybe somewhere between 25 and 35% upside. Doesn't necessarily mean that the stocks are going to move by the same amount.
Hey, podcasters, nothing beats a good read, especially one you can't put down. If you're driven to learn about share trading, then make time for Dale's book, How to Beat the Managed Funds by 20%. Written like Dale talks with no jargon, you'll love it. It's jam-packed full of simple, powerful strategies that might even give you the courage to start trading. Head over to Wealth Within and visit the shop to order your free copy today. Just pay shipping.
But we have seen the oil price really spend most of its time in the past few years trading just above or sort of between $70 and $90. So a very, very important level, as I said. So let's just go back to that article for a moment that referred to the $90 a barrel. Now it says, it goes without saying that oil prices are volatile. We know that. Demand is driven not just by users, but by speculators too. And while supply is affected by geopolitical tensions and by OPEC's various attempts to curtail output. So there's always this control that's going on, managing the supply that's going on, and the demand is driven by many factors. So as he said, not just by the users, but by speculators betting on the direction of it. So current strength reflects both sides of the market. Now we look, I've scrolled down because what's really interesting here is they've got this graph. Now it shows the commodities baskets, the commodities as a total, and it shows energy, precious metals, industrial metals, and agriculture. And what I'm gaining from this is an understanding, looking at all of these markets together, energy, precious metals, industrial metals, and agriculture, how they're actually moving so well together. Now, while some of them may actually rise, you know, make higher highs before others, the trend is generally in a very similar direction. One difference here is, I think, precious metals have obviously been different over recent times, but the agricultural sector is one that's not to be underestimated. I would suggest to have a close look at some of those agricultural areas, commodities, and some of the stocks that are exposed to that to get an idea about you know, whether what the potential is there, but that's for a different podcast. Now, I've also got something that I found on the RBA website. This one's really interesting. It's a forecast. What spurred me to be interested in this is because I saw, like the chart that I saw on the Rothschilds article, I saw a forecast by the IMF where all commodities were pretty much flatlining over the next couple of years, which when I looked at it, I thought, now anybody can draw a flat line and say that we're thinking that demand and growth is going to be flat. But to me, in this point in the cycle, we can sit here and agree with them, but I really want to disagree with the whole idea of that being even remotely possible when you're experiencing the start of what we believe is the next phase of the boom. And let's face it, the Australian market has been lagging the US market, and we play catch up over time. Our market catches up to the US market, or the US market catches up to ours. And because of the tech-driven boom and our focus on commodities and resources in the Australian market, it looks like our market is going to be late to the party again this time, but we're going to see a decent rise out of it yet to come. And so the oil price is going to be one that I'm going to be watching carefully to see what goes on. Now, I'm looking at the RBA's chart here, a table they've actually got. Now, this article is a publication that was put out in February. Now, it shows that the Brent crude oil is flat at around $80. It says crude oil prices are assumed to be broadly unchanged around their current levels for the rest of the forecast period, which is around 4% lower than November, right? So it's gradually lower is what they're suggesting, but they give no indication about, you know, what could actually spur the oil price to take off. If it's flat, how can it be flat and exactly the same level for this period, for this whole time? So I think that whoever's forecast this has taken the easy way out here. Now, perhaps we could see a re-rating of the oil price in the second half. Well, that's what I'm expecting us to see. So that break one way or the other. Now, you can do two things with this. This is an opportunity to trade long if it goes up. If the oil price takes off, as I said, we could see something like 25 to 35% to the upside based on existing technical information that we're seeing on the chart. If it breaks to the downside, then there's a more significant risk if you're holding stocks that are really exposed to this area. So this is sort of like looking at a double-edged sword. It's an opportunity on one hand if it breaks up. So traders are looking to get their positions into these sorts of stocks and perhaps playing it safe at the moment. There's no point being in these types of areas if they're tracking sideways because of the volatility. If they break one way or the other, you know, you're wrong in your estimates, then you're likely to be risking more than you really need to. So just wait for that confirmation. That's what we always talk about, not speculating here. Let the speculators take the biggest risks. Don't put your money at risk until you can see a definite point of where it's turning. And I've given you a really good indication based on what I can see on the chart. And of course, I can't show you everything I'm seeing on the chart here, but it's very interesting to me. Just the respect that it has for the levels of support and resistance over the history. And for those of you who have done our advanced course and have looked at price, time and pattern when you're analysing the oil price, then you will have a greater respect for what it may be about to do. So just keep that in mind. So that's a bit from the RBA's statement there, which is interesting. And also it does say, if I look at the bottom of the chart, it says oil prices are assumed to remain constant at the current price over the current quarter. For the rest of the forecast period, oil prices are expected to remain around the price implied by the 6 months forward rate. So if we're looking at that, I can see out to June 2026, it's a flat line, which to me is quite amusing given that if I look at the oil price going back over history, I can't see any flat lines there. It just has never done that before. It's not to say that it might not trade sideways, but as I said, you know, it's not going to stick at around $80. It's just not possible for it to stay there for any great length of time. The longest that I've seen the oil price track sideways for was probably well back into the 80s, where it actually traded sideways from about 83 through to 85. There was a two-year period there where it moved sideways in a tighter band. There was, of course, some sideways action after the high in April 2011 through to 2014, but it was more of a pattern that was forming an apex rather than specifically a sideways concentration. If I'm looking for a much broader move and, you know, looking lower down into the 90s, there was also some time there where it tracked sideways as well, but it still had spikes during that move. So something to keep an eye on, and I really think that there's some interesting learning there, particularly if you're a technical analyst and you have applied some GAN techniques. That's a bit of a hint there for those GAN enthusiasts out there.
Hey, podcasters. Obviously, you're listening to this podcast because you want to be more successful in life. So doesn't it make sense to surround yourself with people who can help you get there? Take the free 7-day trial to discover how Talking Wealth TV can change your life today.
All right, now just thinking back about how the oil price could have an impact on inflation. The article, the Rothschilds article, goes on to explain, despite the rising crude prices, inflation seems unlikely to surge anew. As a result, bond markets have so far been relatively unconcerned on this account. I expect to see some changes in that at some point. What causes that to happen? That's always the interesting part, but not the thing that drives decision making. So remember that when information comes out in the media about what's actually occurred, you will have been able to see it on the chart well before and plan for that. So it's more just an interest and perhaps something that you want to keep a note of. So just perhaps even record it on your chart if there's when there's really pivotal events that are occurring, like wars or disputes, or there's big tussles between OPEC and discussions in the media and things coming up from the US about their perspective on it. Now, Rothschilds go on and say, we doubt that This is the reason why shorter dated interest rate expectations have been rising. Central banks usually see oil-related economic effects as transitory and tend to focus on underlying rates of inflation mostly. Now, that's because oil is so volatile, and we've seen that. I've talked about that on the chart already. It's a very volatile commodity, and most commodities do experience significant swings. That's why commodity stocks are growth stocks, and you can make some really good money out of those if you're able to time your entry and coincide that when the opportunity is there to see growth in the underlying commodity or the biggest commodity that has, you know, biggest impact on the balance sheet of these big corporate ASX corporates. So instead, resilient growth and unambiguous strong labour markets is what is most likely staying on their hands on rate cuts. So the focus, they're saying, for the central banks is more about what's happening in labour markets. Strong demand, not oil prices, is what is most likely driving the higher for longer interest rate narratives. Now, he says at the end, one silver lining to higher oil prices is what it might mean for corporate earnings. In the big stock market indices, there are more producers of oil than users of it, and we'll start to see improvements in producers' earnings and cash flows. Admittedly, some of this is likely already in the price. Now, energy and commodity producing sectors have outperformed in the past month or so, which partly explains why the value of stock cohort have been retracing some of their lost ground. So we've seen Woodside's pulled back. I mean, there's a whole raft of issues that can actually affect the stock's price, not just the commodity, but that obviously has a huge impact in supporting it. But if there are problems with mines, if there are disputes over whether a mine is going to proceed and whether there's a risk, Santos had an issue recently where there was a dispute over the pipeline that they were putting in. So if that all runs smoothly, then that bodes well for the share price. So it's about having a look and anticipating some of the biggest issues, not following every single thing that's being talked about with energy stocks. It's about looking for the key projects that these companies are involved in, the ones that are going to have the biggest impact on the bottom line, and then just watching the share price and how it responds. Learn as much as you can, because these stocks have so much to teach us about trading and about the volatility in the market, about getting good runs in share prices, which these stocks often will. They can tend to make, you can make 20, 30, 40% on some of these stocks over short spaces of time if you get in at the right time and have the momentum of the market. Because if the oil price moves up, everybody's going to be talking about it. You'll see it in the media. Of course, they're going to be focusing on what it's costing you at the bowser, but your focus ought to be not on whether it's costing you an extra couple of dollars at the bowser, but what you can actually make out of it. So it's just switching your thinking around and focusing on making money, not what things are costing you. Now, I know a lot of investors, they tend to look at things like the costs and brokerage, and it's not easy for some to actually switch their focus away from that. But you really need to, if you're serious about wanting to be a trader and you want to get into resources and commodities and follow things like oil, then it's so important that not only do you understand technical analysis and how things like inflation can have an impact, or how oil prices can have an impact on inflation, so you understand what the commentary is going to be and whether you think it's important to note or not, or whether you just ignore it.
Hey podcasters, are you curious to learn how you can gain more confidence with your trading? Check out the Australian Stock Market Show on YouTube every Tuesday night from 7 to 8pm. Discover how you can become a more successful trader and take your trading to another level. Get your most burning questions answered with Dale and Janine. We look forward to you joining us.
Keep your eyes on what the RBA is saying, and also you might want to keep an eye on what the Rothschild & Co. are talking about, and any other, I guess, organisations that tend to put out a lot of information. Like there's mining publications that come out in Australia. Keep an eye on what's going on in those as well. But your focus, ultimate focus, should be on the chart and what the direction is indicating, because there can always be a good story to sell. It's just whether the price is actually supporting that or not, and whether it is a lot of speculation that's happening. You'll be able to pick that just by looking at the chart. I hope you've enjoyed my discussion today. That's it from me. Take care and all the best with trading your energy and oil stocks if that's what you prefer. But if you're wanting to stay away from those and look for cleaner energy options, there are lots of those on the market as well now. And you may have to get a higher degree of skill to trade some of those, because there can be a lot of them that are actually at the lower end of the liquidity side of things. I'm Janine Cox, Senior Analyst at Wealth Within. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is brought to you by Wealth Within, a global leader in stock market education. For more information on our courses or to listen to more Talking Wealth podcasts, head over to wealthwithin.com.au and click on the Talking Wealth podcast under the Learning Centre.